welcome to series two of the Keep Running podcast with me, Rachel Stringer.
And me, Amana Rai. This is a running podcast for runners of all abilities who want that extra bit of motivation for their next run. In series one, we spoke to so many inspiring runners from all walks of life.
The ultra running legend himself, Dean Karnassus, Great Britain's second fastest female marathon runner, Mari Amuchi, running influencer Flora Beverly, and founder of global run club Midnight Runners, Jody Braga, were just a few of the great guests who joined us in helping to give you the inspiration that you need for your next run, or that little pick-me-up when you're having one of those days.
All episodes from series one can be listened to if you miss them. We're on all good podcast apps.
We are so excited to be bringing you so many more diverse guests in series two and really hope you enjoy listening to them on your next run.
If you do enjoy listening to the pod, then we'd really appreciate it if you would subscribe and share with your friends and use the hashtag #KeepRunningPod to join in with the community.
We can't wait for you to join us on this season two journey and keep running with us.
If you're into running and you love your football, then you may well know today's guest.
This guy is a presenter. You may have seen him on Match of the Day X. He's a content creator, an influencer, and he's interviewed some of the biggest footballing names on the planet, from Neymar to Mesut Ozil to Zinedine Zidane. The list really is endless.
He also speaks three languages, is a vegan, and obviously, as he's on this podcast, a pretty nifty marathon runner.
Sorry, am I supposed to laugh, or can I?
You can laugh, but it goes
okay,
on.
Okay, quiet. Okay.
Today's guest is Michael Timms, or as some people call him, Timsy.
Nah, now hello. You can laugh, mate. Hello.
Hello. Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while. I think the last time we saw each other was, I'm going to say, back in like September time at that England men's training camp. Was it September?
I honestly don't know. Time just doesn't exist anymore for me because we're all just locked away. But no, thank you for that. That was a very lovely intro. Thank you.
Oh, and are you or are you not currently quarantining in your bedroom or in your house?
Yes, I am. I am. I'm in my house. Yes.
Tell us a story. Why are you?
So I just got back from filming. This is actually, it depends when this goes out, but it's sort of an embargoed shoot for the BBC.
Okay, don't say much then. Okay.
But I was in, people saw anyway, I was in Austria. I was in Salzburg for a shoot. So I've had about 7 COVID tests in the last week, which have all come back negative, which is great.
So why are you not allowed out yet though?
Well, no, I ran today because I've stayed indoors for the last like 3 days and I'm just going a bit crazy. So I was like, I needed to get out and just do a quick run. I've been staying indoors. But overall, like when I'm not like actually kind of isolating from a shoot, I always try and get out and stuff and, you know, like get out and run and exercise and get some fresh air. I think it's quite important, so.
This is why we have you on here. This is what we want to talk about. I love that you mentioned running in the introduction. Spot on. That's why I invited you on here.
Exactly. No, thank you for having me. Thank you.
All of our podcasts, 5 quick fire questions. So our first question for you is, why do you run?
Okay, so I run because I enjoy it. I started running. I didn't know I would enjoy it, but I started running because I've always been kind of, I guess, like sporty. I love playing football. I've played football, you know, since I was no age. And I'm also really interested in just like how the body moves and just like athletics is something I've always been interested in and I've always liked watching and participating in. So I guess it was quite a natural thing to kind of start running. And I think running is quite it's something that I think develops later on for a lot of people, and I was definitely one of those people that only started running, you know, way into my like mid-20s, because I'm an old man now.
Oh, shush. Well, yeah, I'm interested in what you said there, actually, about the movement and stuff, and I want to kind of get into that a little bit later. And the fact that you actually only started running You're going to say in your later life. You're making it. Yes. Like, by the way, guys, if you're listening, Timsy's like late 20s. He's really not old at all. He's like making out he's like 45 or something. Anyway, let's park that bus for this time being. Next question, mate. Your greatest running achievement. This is, it sounds odd saying it to you, but you still have some great achievements.
Yeah. It's weird because I don't consider myself a runner per se. I run and I enjoy running, but I'm not a runner. But I've been lucky enough to do a few marathons and so I would probably say that those are my greatest achievement is probably running my fastest marathon, which was at New York in 2019. So running a marathon that I was happy with is probably my greatest achievement. I don't know if you want to talk about it later, but the 7 marathons in 7 days things, but like I sort of failed it, so I'll just go with the 1 marathon that I did well.
You definitely didn't fail the 7 marathons in 7 days, but we will definitely talk about that later. And also, I was in New York at the same time as you, so I ran the same marathon as you.
Really?
Yeah, it was so good. I loved it. Yeah,
if there weren't 50 other thousand people racing it, I think we would have seen each other.
100%. We probably did see each other. Who knows?
Exactly. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I loved it. I always talk about it to Rach. She gets a bit fed up of me talking about it.
Isn't it the greatest thing?
It's unreal. Like, I always thought London was the best, but New York is just the
whole I've never done London.
Oh, you need to. That's going to be your next one.
Oh, okay. I'll do it just for you.
You guys, I'm feeling a bit left out right now, okay? I haven't done New York, so stop this conversation. We'll chat about that later.
So our next question for you is the best piece of a running advice you've been given during your running career. Now, I know you say you're not a runner, but we ask all of our guests this question.
I would say I haven't really been given advice like personally, but from what I've read and the kind of research and videos that I've watched and all that sort of stuff, I think it's just train appropriately and I guess take your time with training and competitive races. I think especially when it comes to doing actual kind of competitive runs or official events, I think just running to what you've trained for and not trying to overdo it too much, because it will just mean you bonk the race. And I think basically trust your training and just don't go too fast for what you've trained for, basically.
Yeah, solid advice there, mate. Even though you said you haven't possibly been given that much of it, but from what I've again watched of you, you do seem really knowledgeable, and what you talk about makes a lot of sense. And again, we'll touch on that later on. Next question again doesn't specifically have to be running related. And I know you read a lot, and we're going to also talk about that. Do you have anyone who currently inspires you or an inspiration in kind of your media work or in running?
I guess that's two different things. Like for my work and my career and stuff, I consume a lot. So I watch a lot of content and I see a lot of what people are doing, and I have quite a few, I guess, inspirations or people I look up to as inspirational figures. Like a lot of them are friends, and a lot of them are just in the business that I don't know, but I just look up to their work ethic and everything like that. But I think in terms of athletic ability and kind of their outlook on health and running and getting the body moving, I think Wim Hof is quite an inspirational figure for me. That's more, I guess, on the health side and the kind of experimental body side of it. But then also I've got a friend called Tim Sheaf, who was vegan for a very long time, and he's been kind of like a free runner and a parkour champion, and has done Ninja Warrior and all that sort of stuff. And he's very, I guess, experimental with his body, which interests me a lot. I like the idea of pushing your limits, whether that be mental or physical. So people like David Goggins as well is very inspirational. So anyone who's just sort of willing to go out there and test themselves, I think is an inspiring figure for me.
Nice, I like that. And a quote which never fails to motivate you.
I'd have to go with my far down the line Asian relative Confucius, who said, I think I read it once, and this was quite a while ago. I think this was at the point where I was kind of, I was going to quit my job and go full, like, freelance, and sort of it was quite a turning point in my career. And I read it and it really, like, affected me. Just, I don't know, it caught me at the right moment. And it was like basically saying that every person has two lives and the second one begins when you realize you only have one. And that was quite a powerful statement, and it kind of, it, I don't know, it switched something in my head. So yeah, that one for me is something I kind of tell myself every so often just to give me a jolt.
I think that's great, actually. And I was really excited to hear your quote, actually, Timothy, because I know you're quite a deep thinker, and I mentioned that earlier. And so I, you know, that's going to be one. I'm like, oh, what's your quote? Actually, yeah, everyone thinks they have two lives until they realise they only actually have one. That's lovely. Yeah. I really enjoy that. Thanks for sharing. No, okay, great. Now
thank you.
We're actually going to get into, like, kind of a bit more of running stuff. Guys, bear with us, you running fans out there. He is a really good runner. Okay, so, Timothy, I feel like, again, for people, I'll tell them to go and follow you, like, after this, who don't know you, or who do know you, probably go, oh, I didn't think you'd be a runner. You're not our usual running guest. You're not a usual runner, I'm going to say. So it kind of fascinates me as to even why you got into it later on in life, like you mentioned in the intro.
Yeah, it was sort of a weird, but like, as I said, I've always played football, and I've liked the idea and the feeling of being fit and strong and being as good a footballer as I can be. And obviously running is a part of it, but it wasn't a significant part of my life. And I guess now it is. It was probably a few years ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And I just, you know, went for a few runs and I kind of enjoyed it. And then it was only in 2017, I think it was, where in January, my big sister, who's also quite a keen runner, she kind of put in our family WhatsApp group a screenshot of her having applied to the New York Marathon. And she was like, oh my God, I'm going to do it. Does anyone else want to do it? And I was like, oh, you know what? Screw it. Might as well. It's a lottery anyway, so I'll just do it. And if I get it, great. If not, I honestly don't care. And I mean, sadly, she didn't get accepted and I did. So then I was sort of by myself. I was like, well, this is stupid. Why have I just done that? And now I have to run a marathon. So it was only really then that I began to run, I guess, significant distances. And really, the more you do it, I think the more you enjoy it and understand why you enjoy it. And so that's when I really got, I mean, I got addicted to it, really. And it just basically went from there. And then after that, after I did the marathon, I sort of took a break and I was like, I've done enough running for a little while. And then it never goes away, that hunger, I guess, or that kind of addiction to running. It maybe subsides a little bit, but I think it's always in the back of your head. So then that's why I ended up doing it again in 2019. And then I really want to do it this year as well. So yeah, that's how it all started. It was a bit of a fluke, I guess, a bit of an accident.
Firstly, I can't believe you got a place just like that in the New York Marathon.
Hang on. He's got a story behind that as well, but actually I'll make everyone jealous. So I'm not sure I'll let him tell about that. It's obviously perks of being in the media, Amana. That's basically what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Oh, so it's not... No.
Yeah, no, oh, shoot, was... you told me it was.
Yeah, no. No, that was the second time.
The second one. The first one, yeah. He was lucky. Second one, he used his contacts.
Yeah, exactly. Look, you know what? Sometimes the job we do, Rachel, so it comes with a few perks. And I was lucky enough that obviously the marathon is sponsored by New Balance. And I know someone there who's it was kind enough to offer me a place. I still had to pay, but it was a place that they kind of keep available for, I guess, friends and family or athletes of New Balance. So I was lucky enough to get a spot for the 2019 one.
Maybe you can make me an extra plus one on your spot for this
gladly,
year.
Gladly, gladly. I'll do it. Yeah. No, of course.
No, you lucky both times, basically.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But I definitely think, and quite a few of our guests have actually said, that running does become addictive. And I mean, it's a healthy addiction, which is obviously good, but...
100%.
Yeah. What value do you think running adds to your life now?
I think it was, for me, for a period, it's always very good for your mental health. And obviously mental health is becoming so much more important every single day, especially over the last year. And it just gives you, it makes you feel so good. And whether you enjoy it or not, because I have a lot of friends who don't enjoy running, and I have had periods where I didn't really enjoy it, but even if you don't enjoy it, you still reap the benefits. That's the best thing about it, is that the way you can just zone out and lose yourself in your running. And if anyone's listening, or I'm guessing it was obviously a lot of keen runners, but anyone who's even just interested in running or hasn't really done it too much, is just start running and you'll see the benefits, and you can honestly just forget all your worries, and it's just for however long you're running, you're just free almost. So that's definitely one of the benefits. And obviously it's nice to, you know, feel fit and get the body moving, and you do just, it does just make you feel good. I think that is the best way of putting it.
Yeah. Do you think though, because I guess, again, for people who don't know Timsy, he's, you know, super chatty, super charismatic, loves being around people, has a load of friends. Again, running's a really solitary sport, isn't it? Lots of the time you do it on your own. Is that maybe why you like it as well? I'm going to say, because you are so energetic most of the time.
Yeah, I let you say most of the time, by the way, because, yeah, to be fair, there are some times.
Downtime.
Of course, yeah, exactly. No, it's weird because, I love, you know, I get socialising. I love being around my friends and having a laugh and you know, speaking to people. But I also really love my own time and being by myself. So I prefer running by myself because I use it as, you know, I guess alone time. I use it as a time of like reflection, and it's kind of a battle between, you know, against myself, you know, if I want to really go for a time or if I'm just doing it just to relax. Like, I like that time by myself. I don't really enjoy running with people all the time. Like for certain time, like I'd love to run a marathon with a friend, for example. But I think running is such an escape for me that, you know, it's addictive and it's enjoyable because I'm by myself almost. But then I've done lots of runs with friends as well, and I've had a great time as well. But I think it's just that balance that that's what I enjoy. Yeah, I don't know about you guys. I don't want it to all be about me. Like, what about you guys? Is that what you think?
Yeah,
it is about you though, mate. That's why you're on here.
It is about you, but I'll talk about me. I love running on my own. I do literally 95% of my runs on my own, and the other 5%. Rach is lucky enough to get stuck with me.
No, but do you, that's the thing. Do you enjoy running with other people, or do you much prefer running by yourself?
I like running by myself. I think it is like a freedom, and you get back and you just feel so good. If I'm running with someone else, it's not so much about the running. It's more like a social, and like Rach, when we run together, we just chat and gossip, and like, that's the fun in it rather than the running as such.
Exactly.
So I'm slightly different to you guys. I reckon I'm like more 70% I would love to run with people, and I'm 30%, yeah, okay, like I'll go for a run on my own because I kind of have to. But then interestingly, that's the time when I am most creative. I will stop a lot of times my run and record myself a voice note. And you've had my voice notes before, Amana.
Yeah, like, about the podcast.
I've got this amazing idea. Like, this is what I've... And I say it into my phone and record it. And otherwise I forget it. Because I've, like, short-term memory loss over here. And forget my ideas. But that's my, like, creative time as well, which I really enjoy. Yeah.
But that's the amazing thing, is that I think it is so different for so many people. That's the amazing thing about it. And that, you know, something that I enjoy or that I kind of treasure could be for someone else it's a nightmare, and they much prefer, you know, running with other people, or they prefer, you know, going crazy and running as fast as they can and all that sort of, you know, it's different horses for different courses, as they say.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. But there was a time that you ran with quite a few friends during your seven marathons in 7 days, so let's talk about this. Can you tell everyone what was that and why did you do it?
So I, in the summer, so kind of post-lockdown, when, I mean, it seems like ages away now, and it seemed like heaven, we were all just allowed out of our houses. It was great. But yeah, so it was in the summer, and it was obviously after the murder of George Floyd and the Black Lives Movement and the momentum that got after that. I felt like I just needed to do something, and obviously I saw a lot of people doing amazing things, but I just wasn't, I couldn't, I don't know why, but I just couldn't handle just sitting at home and like reposting a few things or just like, or even donating. I was like, I just need to, I don't know, feel like I'm doing something. And that's why, I don't know, I just decided, I was like, I need to do something. I need to try and raise money for, you know, any sort of like bail funds or to help the families or whatever it is. So I just decided to run 7 marathons in 7 days, which is obviously, looking back, is it was a really big challenge. But I mean, because I already had done 2 marathons before, I thought, you know what, it'll be a really big challenge, but I think I can do it. So yeah, I just started doing that, and obviously the fundraising went really well, and it gathered quite a bit of momentum. And then by the time I came to running, it was only about 2-3 days after I announced it, I started running. And you know, loads of my friends and stuff just said, oh, I'll run bits of it, I'll run, you know, for an hour with you, or I'll meet you here and I'll hop off here. And it kind of, yeah, it got a lot of traction and a lot of momentum with my friends, and it was just like a really like beautiful time. I don't know, I really enjoyed it, even though it was painful, and I got injured and I couldn't do the last two. It was like a coming together of people that really I still hold very like dear in my heart, because it was like I don't know, it's just to see everyone come together for the same cause and for something kind of bigger than themselves. It was just, yeah, it was quite nice. So that is why I did it. Sorry to ramble.
No, I want to actually delve into that a little bit deeper. Can yeah, you course. Tell everyone how much you raised? Because it was a great achievement as well. I was very impressed.
So for the money, right, I think we raised eventually after about 10 days or 2 weeks, we raised, I think it was like 15,000 or something. I think it was around 14,500, I think, pounds.
Yeah, it was amazing.
But it's great. And it was just, I don't even think it was about the money. It's like the smallest drop in the ocean. Obviously, so many people donated bigger sums than that. People raised more money than that. But it was just more, as I said, it was like the coming together of so many people that, you know, as I mean, what the honestly, one of the best days of my life. And I feel almost guilty for it being such a happy day of my life. But the last day, the 7th marathon, when I couldn't do it, like my knee was totally shot and just I couldn't walk. And 2 of my friends decided to do the marathon for me. They'd never run more than like 10 kilometers before. And on the way, I was ridden around by my friend John in a bike, in like one of those sandwich delivery trolley bikes. And like we had a convoy of like 15, 20, 30 people at some points in the marathon.
I love how you described the race.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it was just like, it was just a totally surreal but amazing kind of like culmination of it all. And like the collective like human energy that was there was, I don't know, it was amazing. So it's something that I'll remember forever for sure.
It's so cool. I watched your YouTube video on it, and there's some guys in there that are running that have never run before. I think one of them might have even run a marathon, which is insane.
Oh, yeah. Four people ended up doing marathons that had never done one before. Four of my friends. Which
you've
is just
got four
so
new runners there now.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were quick, mate. Weren't you?
For the first... No, but this is the thing. I think if I did it again, I would have to do it quicker because I purposely slowed down. So I did my first the first 3 marathons I did in about 4 hours and 5-10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it's something about like a 10-minute mile or 9:45 mile or whatever it is. And like, I'm just not used to, because my natural gait is quicker than that. So I had to purposely slow myself down. So I think... that might have been the reason, or it might have maybe sped up the kind of the knee injury that I eventually got, because I was pounding my feet or my knees and stuff too much. Whereas if I ran at a much more natural pace.
Dean Karnassa says that. Remember, Amana, when we spoke to him about his...
Yeah.
So he's an ultra running legend. Tim's, you're not sure if you know him. He's done 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 days. That's his challenge.
And he finished in New York.
Well, mine's pathetic then.
No. But read his book. You'd love it. 50-50, it's called. Like, he came on our podcast and he was like, he's superhuman. And he actually, again, said he had to run his marathons at his time. And they were like 3.5 hours, weren't they? That was his regular pace that he felt comfortable. And he just bashed them out. Like, wow. Metronomically, okay. This guy. But
So that's that. And also, that I've always been interested in, like, ultra marathoners and people doing these crazy feats. So thank you. I'll definitely read that. But that after it, I had so much more of an appreciation. I guess naively thought that, you know what, 7 in 7 will be fine. It will hurt, but it'll be okay. I felt so good for the first 4 days, and then it just all of a sudden my knee shot, and then that was it. So I think these feats, and this is something I've said for a while, like, doing a marathon isn't actually that hard, but doing it well is. So, like, I think for him, for example, doing the 50 marathons, doing a marathon isn't a crazy feat, because you can literally walk it in about 8 hours or quicker. You can walk one. But I think it's the mechanical aspect of it, your body's mechanics, which blow my mind. Like, I tried to do 7 and I did 4.5 well, and then limped 1.5. To do 50 and 50, I just think you have to have joints of steel. It's really weird.
So you said that this time was like a beautiful time when you were running all of these marathons and getting everyone involved. But what do you think you got out of it, both physically, other than a knee injury, and mentally?
Yeah, well, physically I couldn't walk for 2 weeks, which was horrible. But I think mentally, I think this is the thing with running in general, is that what I love is, as I said, like, people pushing their bodies, and you only really find out the limits of your, I guess, your mental capacity and your physical capacity by pushing yourself, in whatever way that is. But never in my life, before I started running, I would never think, oh, marathon, that's mental. It's 26.2 miles. That's too far. Like, I remember the first time I ran over 10 miles and I was absolutely blowing. And I thought to myself, like, there's no way, just because it's so far. And then, you know, you do a 15-mile run, and then you're like, oh, okay, like, I kept on going. There was a tough period in that run where I was, like, wanting to give up, but I kept on plugging through, and I got a second wind and all that sort of stuff. That I think, yeah, that perseverance and pushing yourself, I think that's when you really find your kind of how strong you are mentally and physically, and that there are so many levels to it, and there are so many depths to your mental strength that you just have no idea, and you will never find that out unless you push yourself. And that's not to say everyone should do a marathon and everyone should try and be an ultra marathoner or everything like that, but just I think it's a very addictive feeling that once you start proving yourself wrong almost and proving your limits wrong, that you're like, well, why can't I just do another one and then another one? And that's why I thought, like, that's what I learned with, I never thought I'd do 2 marathons in a row, let alone 5.
Timsy, we actually think that everyone should run a marathon. And again, like, we've read a lot of running books, and Dean Karnazes also backed us up on that. And he was like, yeah, like, marathons are life-changing, and actually everyone should. But
yeah, I agree. I think, I agree with what it symbolizes in that.
Yes.
It's a marathon. If you say a marathon to anyone who knows what the word is, they I don't know if we're allowed to swear, but they shit themselves,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
So nice. Like, it's more, I think, the fact that it's a title, and it's something that kind of evokes a fear, because it sets a limit in your mind of, like, this is a massive thing for you to overcome, and that all you do when you hear about a marathon is you see people pissing on the side of the street, people collapsing, and people being wheeled away in like ambulances and stuff like that. And it's like, well, realistically, it's not. It's like a beautiful, liberating thing. I just said, like, I don't think anyone needs to do a marathon or needs to become an ultra marathon or whatever, because, like, running is just one thing. Running is a beautiful thing and one of the best things you can do. But it's not like the only thing that, you know, other things could have the same effect for your life, for the way you look at yourself, for your mental strength. It's so many things. Like, it's just, you can do whatever it is, even if it is, you know, even if it's rowing, or if it's anything that gets your body moving and that proves to yourself that you're capable of a lot more than you think is a good thing.
Well, that's kind of where I want to go to next, actually, because, yeah. You know, you talk so well about kind of, I guess, you know, challenging yourself and then what it means when you do and the feelings you get from it. And, you know, you said you love movement and kind of, you know, what your body can do. And yeah. I feel like from listening to you and the little I know of you is that you are someone who always needs to be pushing themselves and needs to be challenging yeah. themselves. And I guess hence why at the moment you're reading Wim Hof, I've seen on your Instagram. And
yeah, I finished it. It's great.
Oh, and recently you also reading, I think, the 5am Club. Again, yes. two books, which, again, from you, actually, I really want to get and have a little look into. What, I guess, for people who don't know, A, are they about, and what important messages, summarising slightly, if you can, that you've taken yeah. away from them?
Well, I'll send them to you, by the way, because I'm done with them, and I don't need to read them again. They're great, so I'll send them to you. You're right. Like, I do love... You know, I guess like testing my body almost, which is why I kind of went vegan for the in the first place anyway. Like, I like trying new things, and I feel like obviously I'm a big believer in science and stuff, but equally I like kind of I guess spirituality and you know, there's a spiritual aspect to a lot of the stuff that we do. But kind of beyond the science of it, I think if you really, the more you do stuff and the more you push your body, I think the more in tune you are with your body. And I think that is as important as any medicine or any science, is the fact that if you listen to your body, like deep down, you find out what you like and what you don't like and push yourself, as I said, like that's when I think you really find out about yourself, which is, I think, the most important thing. So I've always been interested in that. And Wim Hof is someone that I've known about for a while now. And I've always been interested in methodologies, which is obviously like cold exposure, so like ice baths and extended cold exposure, basically, which is like massively beneficial for your immune system and for like brain stimulation. And I think, again, just proving to yourself that you can do something, because it is uncomfortable. But it also does a lot of breath work as well, which is, again, very good for your fighting inflammation and for your health. And then 5am Club as well is, yeah, obviously just waking up at 5am and just being ultra productive and giving your life some structure to be as productive as you can be. So I got both of those. I got the Wim Hof one for Christmas, but I have read both of those. Yeah, I've read both of those because, yeah, as you said, I like learning more about myself and experimenting with myself in the kindest way possible. And yeah, they're honestly, they're great. The 5am Club was an amazing month that I did. I'm not waking up at the moment at 5am because it's very hard at the moment because it's so cold outside. And one of the conditions of like the 5am Club is that you should get out and run as or kind of exercise intensely as early as possible. But I basically set myself the last lockdown goal of waking up at 5am every day, which I did, and it was great, and I was very productive at a time when it's very easy to not be productive. But everyone, there's nothing wrong with not being productive, by the way. Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic, there's no rules. And then yeah, Wim Hof has been great. I've been doing cold showers now for a few months, and it's great. It's very addictive as well.
I'm not sure I'm going to have cold showers, but I have previously.
You have to try. Please.
Maybe one or two.
I'll say it right. So it's horrible, but...
Like, awful.
well, no. So it's not just like straight away getting a freezing cold shower and you can't breathe and you just want to, you know, just run away. It's more just, you slowly do it. So it's obviously like teaching your body how to deal with it, but it's... Again, with a lot of these things, with anything, even anything that I say, as much as I would tell people to do it or anything like that, it's for you to actually really take it on board, or for you to be kind of convinced of why you should do it. It's all based on like personal, like finding out for yourself, because as much as I could say it or you guys could say it, if you actually like read whatever it is, if it's the 5am Club, if it's the Wim Hof cold exposure stuff, that's when you actually find out firsthand, okay, like this seems to sit well with me, or you know what, I'm not convinced. Because then you'll at least, if you are convinced, then you know why you're doing it. Rather than me just telling you, it's more, okay, I know why, I've read the benefits, now I can try it and see if it works for me, and if it does, great, if not, not a problem at all. So it worked for me, and I, as I said, I like trying new things. So, but it's just super addictive. It's better than any coffee you'll have, I promise you.
I don't know. I do love a flat white, but
so do I.
I do agree with the 5 a.m. club one. I have to say, because whenever I come back from like a long haul trip and I'm jet lagged, you always wake up earlier, and I actually always enjoy it. I always get so much more done.
It's I'll do it in the summer, 100%. I've been absolutely convinced of it. Like when I did it for a month from the beginning of November to the beginning of December, and it was difficult at times, but again I was super motivated to do it because I read the book and it was so convincing and it was very uplifting and sort of inspirational that I found it actually very easy to do. And it is beautiful because I guess aside from the more kind of pragmatic logistical side of it, which is like giving a structure of your day and all that sort of stuff, I think getting up that early, I think whenever you never wake up and you're immediately ready to go at 100 miles an hour. You always wake up at, I guess on this analogy, at 0 miles an hour. And it takes you a little while to get up to speed. And I think the reasoning behind it and what I like about it is the fact that at 5 a.m. the world is going at 0 miles an hour as well. So you are where you should be with the world. And so it's very easy for you to get a head start and to kind of get up to speed and be at peace and be very, I guess, not stressed at all. Because if you woke up at 10 a.m., the world has already been buzzing around, especially London, for 3 hours. Everyone's already coffeed up to their...
Yeah,
exactly. And I guess, you know, on a kind of a more spiritual level, it's sort of like the frequency and the vibration that you're operating at just isn't at... It doesn't match up to the world around you. Whereas when you wake up very early, before sunrise, they say... You are on a level playing field with the world around you, so it's a much more peaceful way to start your day, which made a lot of sense to me, and I really did enjoy it. So I'll be doing it from kind of the spring onwards. I'll definitely be doing it.
Interesting. Maybe I need to give this book a read. But my last question for you today is: so obviously we know that you run. You're a 3:17 marathon PB.
Oh, you did your research.
always research our guests.
But yeah. Actually, I'm going to butt in there. Amana did actually beat you in that race, just FYI.
Yeah, you did. Ouch. That's probably why we didn't see each other. But well,
yeah, you were breezing past me.
Yeah, I waited.
What did you get? What did you get?
I got 3:09.
You so got we 3:09. Were close. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're a so monster. We were close. How have you done that? Wow.
I think it's such a hilly course.
I want to do another one though.
Yeah, you need to do a flatter one.
Come and train with us. It's all right. We'll push you. We'll push you around.
Yeah.
Right. My last question though is people are going to be listening to this thinking this all makes sense, but what do you actually do as a job? Can you explain to us?
Oh god. Yeah. I honestly don't even know either. Like I just live. It's so weird. I'm a presenter. Like a football presenter more specifically. So I started as at a football media company called Copper 90, which is as a big YouTube channel and you know, it's like all the ones nowadays, like I guess, you know, Joe or Sport Bible or BBC or anything like that. And I started doing that and started presenting, and that's when obviously my languages came in and I could play a little bit of football as well. So I kind of fit quite a weird little niche that needed plugging. And so I just started doing that. So I guess it's sort of like a sort of YouTuber, entertainer, but presentery type person. I don't know. It's just weird. I just like chat for a living.
And he's very good at it, and he's very lovely, as I'm sure you've got from this podcast.
Thank you, Rachel.
If you do see him, like I mentioned, he's on BBC, on Match Day X. He has some great content of his own, which he puts out on YouTube. And we'd love it if you go and follow him on social media as well, because he's just super entertaining. And I think someone like that you need in your life as well. So if you want to go and find him on Instagram, he's at Michael Timms as well. So,
thank you, Rachel. I'm blushing.
Oh, we got to work with each other only once so far, actually. I think it was only once.
No, it will happen again. It will happen again.
We had a good time over at St George's Park for an England men's training camp. We got to chat to a couple of the big boys like Harry Kane, didn't we?
Yes, lovely
Ainsley
guy.
Maitland-Niles. It was a good little day out. And it was in the sun.
Yeah,
it was
nice.
So lovely. We
I know.
We were even allowed in the same car as each other with a face mask, but you know, we were allowed to travel.
We'd still be allowed. I must have had it before.
Because
the number of tests I've had, I just can't How could I not have had it?
I know, same. But anyway, thank you. And I'm going to hold you to this book club. We're about to swap books. I'll send you 50-50 if you send me 5 a.m. You know?
Yes, for sure.
We can have a little book club going on there. We'll also join forces at a challenge because I'm, as Amala knows, I always try and set these challenges. But coronavirus has paid, it's kind of shut quite a few down. And we will get sub 3. Because we're all
after course.
That.
Oh, yeah, no, that's my next challenge. I want to do New York again and I want to get sub 3.
Yeah.
We're all going.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on, and I really do appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
That was lovely. I really enjoyed
that
chat.
Thank you
so much. So good luck with the work and the quarantine, and we'll see you soon. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, see you guys soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
So, Rach, I loved talking to Timsy there. So lucky that you and him got to work together at one point. Obviously, he's not our usual running guest, but I just love what he stands for and what he believes in and how he started running later in his life, although not at an old age. And he has really taken to it and just seems to love it, enjoy it. I love the 7 marathons in 7 days and how it brought him and his friends together and got people running who don't normally run. I just love what he's about.
Yeah, and it kind of seemed like it was almost a bit of luck, wasn't it, that he got into running in the first place. I was obviously quite inquisitive about what his body can do and movements, but it was his sister who said let's apply for the New York Marathon, and actually himself that got a position to run, and which has kind of led him on this running journey, which he clearly loves and thrives at and wants to push himself even more in it. And yeah, if you guys want to like check him out, actually, and he has actually done a few YouTube videos on running, and one in particular, I think, Amala, he did the ultimate marathon Q&A. He's like, he starts it by going, I'm no expert, so don't hold what I say here gospel. But, you know, he's having a bit of fun with it, and he's a completely different runner to who we usually talk to, which I think is great.
Yeah, and he's actually also got another really interesting YouTube video, which is about the New York Marathon, and he kind of goes through the course before actually go into these points and talk through how he should be feeling and the time splits that he should be on. And it's just a really interesting video because he doesn't take running overly serious, which I think sometimes I do personally, but he just talks a lot of sense about running, so I really enjoyed that video as well.
Yeah,
but yeah, you guys should go and check him out. He is on YouTube and Instagram.
Yes, he is. I said it before, it's at Michael Timms. But that is all we have time for this week, as usual. But we hope you enjoy it. Subscribe if you enjoy this episode and use the hashtag KeepRunningPod if you want to chat to us. I'm on Instagram at Rachel_Stringer. And Amana?
I'm at Amana_Rye. So until next week, keep running.